is Steve Braswell. Welcome to my podcast. We're in the middle of a series called Surviving the Storm, talking about all the ways that we all have storms in our lives and how God can help us survive those. Last week, we looked at surviving the storm of my fears. Today, we're going to talk about surviving the storm of my worries. Hope you brought all your worries with you today. A few years ago, David Murray published two books. One is titled, Why Am I Feeling Like This? A Teen's Guide to Freedom from Anxiety and Depression. The other one titled, Why Is My Teenager Feeling Like This? A Guide for Helping Teens Through Anxiety and Depression. In the book for teens, he talks about how anxiety and depression are such horrible experiences because they make us feel out of control. We feel like other things are taking control of our lives and we're helpless victims. Sometimes that's the way it feels with our worries. They're weighing us down. And it seems to me, I haven't done any polls, but it seems to me, the people I talk to, that this issue is becoming worse and worse, and especially for young people. David Murray gives the example of a young woman named Sarah. Here's what she said. My junior year started off great. I got into the varsity soccer team. We had a great season. We even made the playoffs. That's when my troubles began. There were lots of extra practices and games and pressure. I'm one of the younger players on the team, and my teammates criticize me when things go wrong. It's taken me longer and longer to go to sleep at night because I can't stop thinking about what the other girls think about me. Exams are coming up, and I'm so behind. I go round and round with the same thoughts in my head. I'm just exhausted with it all. I feel horrible, like I'm going to be sick all the time, and I don't know what to do. Am I going crazy? Now, as I read those words to you and tried to enter into Sarah's feelings, it's just like one thing piles on top of another, and it seems overwhelming. Now, as an older person who's already been through a lot of those experiences, I can respond, you're too young to worry about all that. High school, that's nothing. Wait till you get to college, or wait till you get your first full-time job. Then you'll have real worries. But as you can tell, that response doesn't help Sarah. There may be some truth in it for somebody who's already been through all that. For somebody who's in the middle of it, that doesn't help. Murray goes on to describe the cycle that Sarah and other teens are experiencing. It goes something like this. It starts with worry. We're talking about worries today. Worry. That takes place in our thoughts. If I don't get an A, my GPA will drop and my parents will be mad and I won't get a scholarship and they won't be able to pay my tuition. I'll end up with massive debt. No guy will want to marry me and I'll be unhappy for the rest of my life. It's all just in our thoughts, but you see how I can take one exam that's coming up and kind of with domino effect say, well, that'll lead to this, which will lead to this. And before you know it, I'm unhappy the rest of my life and I'm worrying about it. The second step is anxiety. And that takes place in our feelings. You know, worries in our thoughts, anxieties in our feelings. Feelings of fear, dread, terror, on edge, fidgety, jittery, jumpy, a sense of impending doom. Then third is stress. That takes place in our bodies. Racing heart, breathlessness, headaches, dizziness, stomach cramps, nausea, exhaustion, restlessness, insomnia. I've had all of those at times. That's in our bodies. But then the fourth is depression. That dark sense of hopelessness that comes as a result of the worry, anxiety, and stress. All the mental, emotional, and physical exhaustion. And you have the feeling, this is too much. I cannot do anything about this. Now, does Jesus want us to live a worry-filled, worry-burdened life? No. Someone has counted that there are 366 verses in the Bible that say, one way or another, do not fear or do not worry. That's one for every day of the year and even one for leap year. Today's text is from the greatest sermon ever preached. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. Now, in this section that I'm going to be looking at, Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about the number one topic of his ministry. You know what Jesus talked about most? Money. And in this section, he tells us three times not to worry. Now, that's not just about money, but we can certainly start there. Don't worry about money. The text is Matthew 6, 25 through 34, if you want to take a look at that. And here are the three times he tells us not to worry. Verse 25, therefore do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Verse 31, so do not worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Does God want you to worry? No. Let me give you seven reasons from Matthew 6, 25 through 34 why God doesn't want you to worry. Verse 25, because there's more to life than one's possessions. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? At one time, Best Buy had a slogan in big letters when you walked into their stores, you, happier. You get the idea? You walk into that store, you look at the great new products they have, and if you buy just one, you will be happier. Now, don't believe it. It's a lie. A new 145-inch plasma TV will not make you happier for long. Now, it'll give you a temporary thrill, I'll grant you that, but it won't make you happier permanently. Here's one of the great lessons of life. What is life? It's so much more than your possessions. Somehow we continue, no matter how old we get, we continue to believe the lie. If I had a new car, if I had a nicer house, if I had a bigger this or that, then I'd be happy. No, life is much more than your possessions. Think about it. It's a smile, a hug, a touch of the hand. There's so many people who are wealthy in possessions, who have no one to share a smile or a hug or touch with. In that way, their lives are not enriched. They don't know what life is really all about. Think about this, just a few sincere words. I love you. When was the last time someone told you that? And don't take that for granted. There's so many people in this world who have no one who sincerely say to them, I love you. Over the years of ministry, I've had so many people tell me, I never heard the words from my mom or dad, I love you. It would have made all the difference in the world if they had just said those three simple words. See, there's more to life than one's possessions, so don't worry about those. Second, verse 26, because God takes care of the birds, and you are more valuable to God than they are. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And we talked about the birds in Matthew 10, and here Jesus brings them up again. Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. The lesser of God's creatures, the birds. Now, they're still God's creatures. Doesn't mean they're not important, but they're lesser than you. Why? Because you alone are made in God's image. So value is how much one treasures an item. For example, I have a pocket knife that I greatly treasure. I keep it in a safe place. I don't get it out every day, but I know where it is, and I keep it in a safe place. It's the pocket knife that my father carried with him in his pocket everywhere he went. He always had a pocket knife in his pocket, and it came in handy sometimes. Now, I don't do that, but I've got his, and so that knife is valuable to me. Why? Is it better than any other knife? No, it's because of the value I place on it because of the connection to my father. So you are highly valuable to God. Read the poem that went like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about to worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as care for you and me. We do, but we forget. We forget that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. So you're more valuable to God than the birds, so don't worry. Verse 27, third reason, because worry doesn't work. Jesus said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Worry doesn't change anything. It won't add an hour to your life. In fact, it will subtract from your life because worry will lead to health problems. Not only do 99% of the things we worry about never happen, but even for those that do happen, guess what? Worrying about them in advance didn't help. Remember what Jesus said to Peter when he started walking on the water and then he fell? He said, "Why did you doubt?" I can envision Jesus could say that to me at the end of my life as I look back over my life. "Why did you doubt? I was right there to help you. Worrying did not work." So don't get obsessed about those kinds of things. Fourth reason not to worry, verses 28 through 30, because God delights to adorn things with beauty. Jesus said, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" It's interesting, Jesus mentions Solomon in all his splendor. Solomon was known as the wisest man of all time, but also perhaps the richest man of all time. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 tells us he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He had silver and gold, so much so that they were so common in his time that in Jerusalem they were like rocks on the ground. And yet, rich, wise Solomon was not dressed as beautifully as one of God's gorgeous flowers. You ever notice on the highway sometimes on the side they have just wildflowers growing? Nobody's really tending to them, but they're so colorful and beautiful. And then beyond that, all kinds of other flowers and plants that God has made. And yet, as beautiful as Solomon tried to dress himself up, it wasn't as great as those flowers. And if God delights to adorn the flowers with beauty, flowers that don't last, how much more will he adorn your life with beauty? We get so uptight about things that just don't last. For example, heard about a father and a son who went to a restaurant one day, and you know how it is, some restaurants you go to, they give you a number for your table so they can either call out the number or find your table and bring you the food. And so they gave him the number 23, the father, to put on their table. The father and the son went to sit down, and there was the number 23. And the father went on to explain, "As soon as I see 23, I think about Michael Jordan." And his son said, "Who was that? Did he play baseball or soccer?" No matter who you are, even if you are the greatest of all time in whatever sport or business or whatever it might be, today's generation might know you, but the next generation won't even know your name. What good is it to kill yourself for a few more dollars or even to be number one in the world? It's all temporary. So why are you worrying? Fifth reason not to worry, verses 31 to 32, because God loves you and knows all about your needs. Jesus said, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God is willing to take the responsibility on him for all of your worries. Whatever that thing is for you right now that you're worrying about, think about what's your number one worry right now. God says, "Let me have it. I'll take it. I'll take care of it so you can be free to live your life." That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which, by the way, he wrote from prison. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Give it to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, I'm talking about all this stuff, and I'm talking about it like it's just easy. Give it to God. I know it's not easy. I'm human, too. I'm worrying about things, too. I give thanks to God and I take them back, you know. But still, it doesn't, just the fact that we struggle with it doesn't negate the truth. God loves you and knows about your needs, so don't worry. And then number 6, reason not to worry, verse 33, because God will carry your burdens if you get your priorities straight. Verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God's honor and God's kingdom come first. Let's talk about money in your bank account. Do you pay your bills each month? Water, electricity, gas, phone. And what else do you spend your money on? Food, fine dining, car, trips, clothes, ordering from Amazon every other day. And then what do you give to God? The end of the month. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. You know me. You know my bank account. Look at it. I've got my mortgage to pay, my credit card to pay. Look, I just don't have enough left over this month. But I'll do better next month. End of next month. I'll do better next month. And we say it over and over and over. No, God's kingdom comes first. Don't just give the leftovers to God. Now, I'm not saying what day of the month you should pay your money to your church. That's up to you and your budget. But I am saying that needs to be top priority, what you give to God. I remember when my girls were small, I tried to teach them some things, and I remember, I've still got some of them in that drawer, 3 small Tupperware containers with tops on them. And I wrote on top of each one. One I wrote church, one I wrote savings, and one I wrote spending. And when I gave them money, or when they earned it, I said, okay, let's divide this money. First, let's put in the church container what belongs there. That's giving to God, saying thank you to God for allowing me to have anything. Then secondly, let's put the right amount in the savings container, whatever. Let's talk about and decide what should go there. And then the third container, everything else, spending. So when something comes up and you want to buy something, do you go to the church container and take something's left? No. Do you go to the savings container? No, you leave that. You go to the spending container. And theoretically, if it's something that you want or maybe even think you need, if there's nothing left in the spending container, then you just wait until there is money that goes in there that you can spend. Now, that's very, very simple, maybe overly simplified. But really, if more adults lived that way, they'd be better off and they wouldn't be worrying so much. Put God's kingdom first. You know, I've had people over the years talk to me about, well, I really want this really nice car, or I want to go on this great vacation. I almost feel guilty about spending this money. And that's between them and God. You know, that's up to for them to decide. And I don't tell them how to spend their money, but I think in these terms, you know, if you give to God what is due to God, and God has blessed you beyond that, then enjoy that and give thanks to God. Maybe you, if you have extra, maybe you need to give extra to God, and you can think about all that. But, you know, if God has blessed you, enjoy it, but put God first and then let everything else fall in its proper place. Then the 7th reason not to worry, verse 34, because you're worrying about the future when you should only be concerned about today. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus knew what he was talking about. My goodness, every day has enough trouble of its own. So don't worry about tomorrow. George MacDonald said, and this is a great quote, listen to it. No one ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a person can bear. Putting God first helps us to see that we can't do anything about the future anyway. Putting God first reminds us that no matter what happens in the future, there are certain things the future cannot change. Even if the bad stuff we're worrying about for the future happens, it cannot change that we belong to God, that God loves us, that God cares for us. Jesus says you can store up treasures in one of two places. It's very simple. You can store up treasures on earth, money, cars, clothes, homes. But the clock is ticking, and one day you'll lose them all. In that sense, you'll be back to zero. Or you can store up treasures in heaven. They will last forever. And even if you leave this life suddenly without knowing that it's coming, you've already sent those treasures ahead, and they will last forever. Friends, Jesus is really our greatest treasure, our eternal treasure. Even if the economy collapses, even if you get cancer, even if you get struck by lightning or whatever your worst fear is, you'll still have the greatest treasure of all if you trust in Jesus. So don't worry. Jesus is right there with you. Picture Jesus walking into your house and leaving a sticky note on your refrigerator. Okay, I don't know if you have a refrigerator or if you put sticky notes on it, but let's just think about that. Even if you've got a refrigerator with a bunch of pictures and there's hardly room for a sticky note, picture Jesus walking into your house and leaving a sticky note that says, "My child, you worry too much. I've got this. Remember, I love you, God." That's God's message to you today. Now, as I've said, I'm not minimizing your worries. I know they're great. I know we can all make a long list of worries. I'm not saying that just because you believe in Jesus, all your worries are gone forever. No, but Jesus does want us to deal with our worries and put them in the right perspective. Put him first, and then everything else will fall into its proper place. So, surviving the storm of my worries, I hope that helps. Next week, we'll be looking at surviving the storm of life's messiness. Is your life messy? Mine is. We'll talk about surviving that storm next week. Thanks so much for spending this time with me today.